Revoice Podcast Network. The mic is ours.
Welcome to the Burnout Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Coleman, and this is the media production element behind MassCom 484 Media Foundry. Robert Milazzo challenged us to work on our own productions during this semester. These productions include Eric Wilson's narrative Within, Amina Dawson's documentary Star, and Ash Sigdell's narrative Burnout. This podcast will take a deep dive into the production of Burnout by sitting down with different people who worked on the project. This series will be a 6-episode series, each focused on a different position involved for the Burnout production. For this episode, we're sitting down with our short film composer, Encore. Encore is also roommates with Ash and wanted to get involved with the music aspect of this production. Encore is also in a few different musical projects. Some of these projects are with our lead actor, Abby. Encore really excels in music and scoring of different films. In this episode, we talk about his inspiration from Trent Reznor, his instrumentation, and more about his approach to music for this production.
Yeah, I'm Encore. I'm living right here in Richmond. I'm from Chesapeake, and before that, New Jersey. And I'm going to be composing the music for this film.
Nice. So how did you get in contact with this production, and how did you get involved?
So Ash and I have worked a couple of times before on other films, other short projects, just like this. Usually, they tend to have a similarly electronic, glassy kind of bent to it, because that's a lot of how Ash shoots as well. And then we've also dealt with some subject matter leaning more towards sci-fi and a bit of surrealism. And I think a lot of that is going to be coming together on this project.
When you look at, like, in general, your own inspirations that you wanted to really emphasize and take into this production, what are some of those inspirations musically, but also maybe like movie wise of like movie soundtracks?
Yeah. So I really have been liking revisiting some of Trent Reznor's stuff. Most of how I got into him was actually through his soundtracks, and then I delved deeper into Nine Inch Nails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned Trent Reznor. I just watched Challengers a while ago. That soundtrack's insane. Like, it keeps you so locked in the whole time.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a watch. Mm-hmm. I initially found him through the Tron soundtrack, and while the movie bored me to, like, I don't think I've ever even seen past when they start their investigation, like, halfway through, but I've listened to the entire soundtrack, like, a bunch of times. I played a lot of Light Bike as a kid, and it definitely more evoked that. And then we rewatched The Social Network. I really like the kind of gritty details that he can get in there, but without being too in your face. Because most of that movie plays out almost like a documentary. Yeah, a lot of the shots are pretty cold. They're pretty dialogue heavy. And even when there's a lot going on with the soundtrack, it still doesn't ever overtake any other element of the film.
So when you, like, get into this process of making the soundtrack, are there any, like, sorts of instrumentation you really, like, try and incorporate? Or are there some that you kind of just want to leave on their own and just kind of let them do the speaking?
While I'm still working with the ideas, like, when Ash was still in the process of writing the script and laying out each of the scenes, I would go to guitar being, like, my most comfortable instrument. And I would just try to meditate on the sort of emotions that we would be looking at or how each scene would feel, essentially. And so I'll start off with... So I've get a couple of chord progressions or melodies that way, and then those will just keep staying in my head to be able to call back to. A lot of my process in the moment, I feel really inspired by the way that Vangelis wrote the Blade Runner soundtrack.
Yeah, that's an amazing soundtrack, yeah.
For just like 2 or 3 cuts of it, like, I think he just did this 2 or 3 times, he just improvised in a small room surrounded by all his synthesizers and a TV playing whatever cut he was looking at. And he would just run mostly with his first ideas. So now that I have the motif set up and Ash will be sending me the rest of the scenes, I'm gonna take the couple of sounds that I know I want to work with and start off improvising them. And as I go back to write, I'll see how they fit with the motifs that I was initially thinking about.
Mm-hmm. So as of right, you mentioned these ideas. As of right now, like, how many ideas, or I guess, let's say melodies or songs you have?
So right now it's most cohesive for the scene of, like, screen fatigue is what I have titled. And then when they're at the bar, I'm really excited to write the drums for that part. I have four or five other motifs that I know will be, they'll fit the mood of the film, but I still have to see how they'll translate both to a couple different sounds on the keyboard and then with the scenes themselves.
Nice, nice. So do you have, like, a certain, let's say, when you're writing an idea, do you start with a certain instrument maybe, or like, how do you know what you want to be in this when you're writing something?
Say for, like, screen fatigue, I think that's a very visceral scene, and it's a very simple place to start. And I think my process for it is pretty close to how I would usually go. So I'll start out with either droning a note or just one or two notes, and try to not do anything too, like, melodically complex while I'm picking a sound. Mm-hmm. And then once I have a sound and I have the scene in front of me, I just try to keep moving around and seeing where, like, memories of other melodies might come through. And then eventually I'll try to just, I've tried out a kind of new technique now, because usually I would start going to MIDI at this point on my computer. I'll try to just do one note at a time on sheet music. And so I'll either let myself stack a chord or go next in the melody, and then keep trying out things in between that process.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And you also just recently played a Halloween cover show, and I heard you were a part of a No Doubt cover band. Why don't you tell us more about this?
Oh yeah, that was both incredibly exciting and a little bit stressful, but I wasn't really too nervous about it, honestly. Yeah, they just reached out to me on Thursday to play three songs out of their 6-song set on Saturday with, like, two solos. One of them is, like, the main rhythm of the song.
Oh, wow.
And then one is, like, one of the main chord progressions of the song. That was a lot of fun to, because I've been in this more abstract place of, like, okay, I can find a sound that evokes a certain emotion, but where do I like to change that? Or where do I want to find my own flavor or some new place to take that? And this cover show, I found that I was pretty acquainted with my synth, and having a very, very specific sound to go for, I was pretty much able to nail, like, for each of our songs, and then just go into learning the actual chords and melodies. I also think it really helped me break out of just staying in one key. I try to move between keys, like, for each of the pieces that I've done, but I'll still come back to, like, very comfortable ones. And for this No Doubt show, there was one song that switches from, like, G flat to B flat minor. It's really, really knowing your sharps and flats throughout it.
Yeah, I bet.
Both between that and the key change, it was just really, really fun to learn in, like, such a quick period of time, to just, like, use all of the mnemonics and, like, other, like, my own ear for melody, making sure that I was doing what I wanted to. Yeah, I think that showed me a lot of speed in my process that I wasn't sure was there before, because it was just, like, a 3-day turnaround to do three songs.
Yeah, I feel like that's definitely one thing. Having, like, that short of a turnaround kind of, like, it sort of, like, helps in some way, because you, like, you just, like, have to make your brain figure it out and just, like, wrap around it. And I totally get that with playing live, as much as, like, playing in your own room and just, like, playing instruments and music with your own ears fun, but when you play with other people, it's definitely a completely different vibe, and, like, you kind of have to work on synergy and stuff like that. So that's very, yeah, I heard about that show. I wish I could have made it. I heard it was awesome. I wish I could. Also, I gotta know, what were the three No Doubt songs? Because if it was Spiderwebs, I'm gonna be pissed.
I played on Hella Good, It's My Life, and Just a Girl. I think Just a Girl has the really distorted...
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you listen to that when I came in today. That's so
yeah,
funny.
now it's like going to be so stuck in my head.
Yeah, all those songs get so stuck in my head. They're so catchy. Shout out Gwen Stefani. So what was your major at VCU?
Oh, I majored in computer science.
Computer science.
I took a minor in philosophy.
In philosophy? Okay. And when did you graduate?
In 22.
22. Yeah. Okay. So you've been out for 2 years. So what have you mainly been up to, like, outside of... you're also part of bands. So, like, what musical groups are you part of as of right now?
Right now, Rainbow Soul Food and a couple of different things in the works. Still piecing other bands together again. Mm-hmm. Might return to Too Early, Too Late. And working a bit more on solo stuff.
Nice. Yeah, definitely, like, working on solo stuff can be a lot of fun. Like, finding either a new direction you want to go or just finding something that you kind of already love. Who's in Rainbow Soul Food?
Oh, Rainbow Soul Food is like a super group. Different musicians coming in and out like pretty much every week. But the core group is me, Abby, Kale, Hugo, and Casey. Our friend Hugo works at Maymont, and so we get to jam in his backyard at the Maymont house a lot of the time. But right now we're facing parent complaints. They need to get their kids to bed at 9 p.m.
Yeah, I definitely get that. Playing music like so late can be so hard. I always have to be like done by music by 9 o'clock because I got my internship at 3 a.m. It's like always hard.
So last year, when I was really able to focus on both Too Early, Too Late and Rainbow Soul Food and do my own stuff, I'd been working two part-time jobs, and they each kind of operated on a gig basis. I was tutoring, but some schools wouldn't really routinely sign up, a bunch of schools would just like be on and off with the program, and so I never knew where I had to be or when I had to do stuff, but I did have a lot of free time to like listen to music in my car and be writing stuff like as soon as I got back home. And the pace of that just being like 2-3 hours at a time never really felt like I had too draining a day, unless I had maybe both jobs align and I'm like tanked for over 8 hours.
Yeah.
But this year I'm working like 8 to 4 at the DMV programming, and definitely with this, especially now in the holiday season, like really trying to adjust to being on such a consistent and earlier schedule.
Yeah, especially earlier, but also consistent. I bet like consistency is kind of nice though, getting used to that rather than like getting used to different gigs or jobs. With at least your journey in music, do you have a favorite instrument that you kind of gravitate towards more than others, that it's kind of like you'd say your first draft pick?
Yeah, so that's definitely usually guitar. Even acoustic guitar, like I love playing my electric and playing with all the effects and everything, but when just trying to write, it can get kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I really love the simplicity of being able to pick up an acoustic guitar and also be able to play along with anything else that's happening. Like, I don't have to route it through anything. I don't have to use up my phone, like, to also be doing something. It can just play music or... Yeah, or I could be watching something and play along.
Yeah, that kind of leads up into my next question. Do you have a preference between analog or digital? And, like, if you could pick one, like, would you say you're an analog artist or a digital artist?
So I think with music, most of what I like to put out is definitely a lot more digital, because I love having every option at my fingertips. And it was a lot of electronic music that really got me into it. If I'm writing songs personally or like really trying to learn them or connect with them, then it's analog all the way, like a real piano, a real guitar, because I love the feeling of the instrument's resonance with my own voice, or just like feeling it in my chest is completely different.
For sure. I definitely feel the same way. I'm way more of an analog guy. I like recording digitally, but recording analog on a cassette recorder is the money. That's where the sound's at. Well, thank you so much, Encore. Is there any last things you want to say to people who maybe want to like, who are interested in music or want to like give music a go? What would you say to them?
Oh yeah, of course. I'd honestly say that, like, while each instrument is so different and it offers like so many different options, I think if you're just starting out, you should try out as many instruments as you can, because your ear will tell you everything you need to know. And from there on, it'll just give you, I feel like it'll give you a much better drive to actually try to learn more specifics about any given instrument if you actually know the limitations and strengths of like different ones.
Well, thanks so much again, Encore. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for listening. The Burnout Podcast is exclusively a product of VCU's Revoice Network. While you're at it, go check out Bad Attitude, Common Talk, and Podline for more Revoice content. And go follow us on Instagram at Revoice Network. Thank you so much.